720 WGN hits Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez this evening. Glad to be with you. Thanks for being with me. So we have lots to do on the show tonight. We've got a musical guest coming up in just a little bit. We're going to play a little game called Can We Not? A little bit later in the show. And we're going to talk about some future jobs that don't exist but should, or maybe should not, but they probably will anyway. But right now we're joined by our good friend Rex Hupke. Hi, Rex. Thanks for being with us tonight. Hello. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Hi. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going? Good to hear you.
Good. Good. Thanks for joining us this fine evening.
Absolutely.
I haven't talked to you in mere days since we last recorded the Guth and Hupke on Politics, which is not what we're going to talk about tonight because we get it all out of our system on that.
Exactly. Oh. Right. That's the purge, the weekly purge.
Hey, do you remember when we first started that podcast earlier in the election cycle and we thought, you know, right after the election, there won't be much to talk about anymore.
It's all going to die down. Nothing left.
Do you remember that foolish, foolish era? We were so innocent then, Hupke.
Yes, I know. We were young.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and so there is a thing that you have said to me several times in the last few months as you've been writing and podcasting about the election, and that is, what in the heck did I write about before all of this? And of course, I'm a close follower of all of your work. And you wrote a piece at ChicagoTribune.com that everyone should go read, as they should read all of your things. But this piece that you wrote very recently was so touching and so lovely and heartbreaking about people that are really trying to do some wonderful things in the world but have just really stumbled upon a very tough time and kind of need a hand right now.
Yeah, there actually 4 years ago, before I was column writing and when I was just regular reporting, I did a story about this organization called the Christmas Cheer Foundation, which is run by a guy who I described as the Italian-American Santa Claus. His name is Phil Calabrese, and he and his partner, Lucy Dalbus, run this organization, which started like back in the 80s, and the idea was to bring food to people, needy families, on Christmas morning. So not, you know, like delivered the day before or anything, but actually delivered on Christmas morning. And it started out with like they were servicing maybe 100 families or so. But once Phil got involved and then Lucy got involved later, they just blew it up to now they're serving like 20,000 families on Christmas morning, getting them fresh meals, books, and a couple other toys and whatnot for kids if the families have children. And it's just an absolutely amazing charity. And the work they do, it's first of all, it's like a logistical the feat that they accomplish each year to distribute these things, and Lucy has come up with like routing, you know, programs, and it's really like it's like recreating the North Pole here in Chicago a little bit. So anyway, amazing thing. And then I find out that was 4 years ago, and of course they've chugged along. But I find out this year that Lucy lost her daughter, a 41-year-old daughter, developed just a sudden infection, and she passed away in late October. And so that obviously was a personal tragedy, and for her and Phil caused all kinds of upset. And they've been traveling back and forth to Nevada, where her daughter lived and has two small children, and helping out as much as they can. Anyway, the long story short is that because of this hurt that they've gone through and everything they've been dealing with, the foundation has not been running as smoothly as it normally would. There's other people involved, but Lucy and Phil are really the drivers of the whole thing. And so their donations are down. They don't have the volunteers that they need, both in advance of the delivery day and on Christmas morning. And so I wrote a column today, and it's online now. It'll be in tomorrow's paper, talking about this and saying, hey, you know what? Bad things happen to the best of people. We can't control that, but when they do happen, it would be nice if we could come together and help out, because these are two folks who have done a monumental amount of work to help other people in the Chicago area. over the years. And so it meant a lot to me personally, at least, to kind of share this with people and say, look, here, this has been a hard year and they're hurting and maybe there's something we can all do. So that's how I came back to them here.
Yeah, I love how you close this column. I'm going to read this. You write, "And that, my friends, is when good people need to show up. I hope you'll join me in doing all you can to help an annual miracle be bigger and better than ever." I love that. And you also, there, if you go to chicagotribune.com, you can find all of this. We will make sure to post it on the WGN Radio website too. But christmascheer.org, or their phone number is in the story. You can just call them if you want to be involved. They really do need a lot of people. They need people to deliver food. They need people to all, as you said, it's like little North Pole here. So they need a lot of hands on deck to make sure that this happens, because it, 20,000 people, that's a lot of people. That serves a lot of people.
20,000 families, actually. So, yeah, I don't know what the total number of humans is, but yeah, that's I think I said people earlier. It's 20,000 families.
Even more, so, right, yeah. Even more important. So, the phone number, if you would like to call and get involved, don't call this late. Call them in the morning, because I think this is someone's personal phone number.
But it is. It's Lucy's number.
Okay, it's her personal number, but it is published, and she has given her blessing to do so. And it is 847-977-8069. 847-977-8069. Promise me, though, do not call that woman this late. Don't call.
yes, exactly. They're really just, you know, you meet people sometimes and you're just really taken by them, and you just think, wow, I mean, what a spirit, and what just a you know, desire to give. I mean, they're retired, and they do this. This is a big part of their lives. You know, they do this. They do other things year round with the foundation, helping, you know, get food to people in other ways. But the big thing is at Christmas, and it's just a really cool thing. And you were talking about, you know, what did I used to write about before Trump came along, and this is the kind of thing, frankly, I mean, I don't like to see, obviously, some situation like this, but sharing stories about people like these folks and about the Christmas Cheer Foundation and other good organizations that are doing positive things, you know, that's, I like that. And I think maybe we need some more of that these days to remind everybody about the good things that are out there.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, I think it's really interesting how in the last month I see a lot of people going out of their way to get involved, to volunteer, to support one another. I see particularly women. I feel like a lot of women are supporting each other in the workplace, not in ways that they were unsupportive before, but I think kind of people are going the extra mile to really, really spread positivity right now, is what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that regardless of what you think about the outcome of the election was divisive and brutal for pretty much everybody, I think. And so that, I think our most people respond to that sort of thing with a desire to come back together, to find our way back to, you know, the middle, or at least some kind of balance. And so I think it is logical that after all of that, there would be attempts by many people to spread some good, do some positive things, and try to, you know, just help kind of get ourselves back into a position where we feel quasi-normal.
Yeah, for sure. As you
emphasis
said,
on the quasi.
Right, for sure. As you said, you know, I think no matter how you voted or didn't vote, I think everybody's just kind of tired, right? I think this election took it out of a lot of people on both sides of the, I shouldn't say both, there are many sides, but on, you know, that came to the table with many different opinions. And I think everybody was just worn out the day after the election. And I think a lot of people just thought, oh, if I just get to the election, then it'll be fine and I can chill. But in fact, like, well, no, there's still a lot to talk about. There's still a lot going on. And it's none of it is a simple conversation, right? I think no matter how you identify politically, none of it is a simple conversation, and it shouldn't be. I think if you are making it a simple conversation, you're stepping into a dangerous place, because when we oversimplify, that's kind of when we get into that, you know, into that area where we're deciding things and forming opinions based on sound bites, which is something you and I have talked about a lot.
That's a bad path for sure, and not to ignore also the fact that this year has just kind of been a real pain. We've had people dying.
I mean,
you know, like all of our great people seem to be. I'll be happy if we make it out with, you know. I just want Neil Young to survive the year.
Someone go wrap the man in bubble wrap. Like I'm not gonna lie to you, Hupke. I cried real tears when Bowie died. I love David Bowie, and I cried when I heard that news. And then when I watched that one particular video from the Lazarus album that he released right before his death, you realized he was coming to terms with his own mortality right there as he was writing that music, and you can feel it and hear it right in that. And so then I cried all over again, and then I didn't even have a chance to breathe before Prince died, and then Leonard Cohen, and I'm like, okay, really,
yeah,
come on. And then it just
kept
going.
It's normal. Yeah, it's really. I mean, famous people die every year, of course, but this has just been, for so many of us, I think, and some of it's generational, but for so many of us, this has just been so tough. And I agree with you. Yeah, Bowie died. I mean, it's really the first time I've seen someone's death be a work of art. I mean, he really did. Like that album, it came out, you know, just like right. And then he died. It was insane.
Wasn't it days? I mean, I think it was days prior.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And just, you know, soul-crushing. And for me, he was, I think one of the things I said around then was he was one of the first people to make me believe that being weird was a good thing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and he just, and I don't, and I'm not, I know I wasn't alone in that. I mean, for so many people and so many kids that grew up listening to his music and, and Prince for many is exactly the same way. And I think you and I talked about that one time, this year's hurt. It just hurt a lot.
I know. And at this point, every time more bad news comes along, I just see people on Facebook just posting like, you know what? Jump in a lake 2016. I'm done. We're done here. I've seen people write breakup letters to 2016. Like, you know what? It's not working out between us.
Yeah, it's not a well-regarded year, I wouldn't say. And for anybody out there, I mean, I'm sure for some people it's been a great year and good for them. I'm happy for them. But for many, this has been just a bruiser.
Yeah, and I say that as like I try very hard to really focus on positive stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I went to South Africa and I did this and the show's going fun and it's all good. But man, I'm still not over Bowie. There's lots of stuff.
We're
talking with Rex Hupke of Chicago Tribune and my partner in crime and the Guth and Hupke on Politics podcast. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez, hanging with you till 2 o'clock. Thanks for being with me tonight. I appreciate you being here. We have been chatting with our good friend Rex Hupke. He is the other half of Guth and Hupke on Politics. But I said we were staying away from that, but we couldn't help ourselves, Rex. We had to go to
it. We always drift into it a bit.
Pulls us back. That's right. It does. It pulls us back. Well, you know what? Right before the break, we were talking about all the number of celebrities that died in 2016 and how much it bummed us all out. And, you know, I was thinking during the commercial break, When Bowie died, I remember somebody, I don't remember who it was though, having kind of a Twitter meltdown, getting mad at people for for grieving. They were like, you did not personally know him, therefore you cannot grieve his passing, which
nope.
I disagree with. If someone's putting work out into the world, particularly music, it's there. If it's successful, it's because people are identifying with it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a ridiculous. And also, you know, we have enough problems. We don't need people judging someone else's. You're grieving wrong, or come on. I mean, that's just obnoxious.
So many
I mean, good Lord, I would think there would be no greater compliment to any kind of artist than for people to grieve at that person's passing. I mean, to say that you left that kind of a mark on someone, you had that kind of an impact on a person's life, that they are struggling with your death, that's a pretty amazing thing.
And in the case of Bowie, that was around the world. There were, remember, I remember so many news outlets had photo galleries of just Bowie tributes around the world, of just people showing up at stuff and going, oh, he played here once. Let's put 7 million flowers in front of it. I mean, there were so many touching tributes. But, you know, when you, and that's what made him successful, is because he spoke to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways and in a lot of different eras. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I think that the, I mean, that's honestly one of the worst things that social media has done, I think, is allowed people to feel the need to be critical of someone else's emotion or someone, even someone else's reaction. I mean, I guess the only situation in which I could see a that sort of criticism being appropriate would be if someone was sort of openly mocking somebody's death doing something really inappropriate. But I mean, to say, oh, you know, you didn't know that person, so who cares? You don't really care. Well, that's nonsense. I mean, good Lord, think of all the people in our lives that we don't know personally, that we, authors and artists and actors. I mean, you know, so there's just a wide array of people you'll never meet, but they all influence us to some degree. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's their job, you know.
I know that in 100 years, let's say 100 or more, the Hupke fan club will be devastated.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, I'm assuming you'll still be going, but the Goof Hupke podcast followers who were with us through years from year 1 through 50,
they will grieve big time.
Yes, exactly.
In a big way.
Indeed. I feel bad for them already.
I know. My heart goes out to them preemptively. Well, thanks for being with us tonight, Rex Hupke. Everybody, head to the Chicago Tribune website, chicagotribune.com. You can find this story that he wrote. Again, ChristmasCheer.org is an organization that needs your help. You can read about why in his column. It's in print tomorrow, but it's on the website tonight. Go to that website, go to Tribune's website, read about why, then go to ChristmasCheer.org and learn how to help some super great people doing great stuff. Help them help others. That's the thing I'm trying to say. Rex Hupke, thanks for being with us tonight.
Yeah, and thanks for talking about that foundation too. I really appreciate it. And I think some good will come up all this one way or the other. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. Come back tomorrow. I'll be here again for Patty Vasquez.
I would love to. We'll see you then.
Great. Sounds good. All right. Have a good night.
All right. Have a great night.
All right. We're going to take a little break and then get you to news in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez tonight. She's off doing something in the world, being fabulous. And so I'm hanging with you till 2 o'clock. We've got a lot of stuff to do. As I was telling Justin Kaufman, when I do my Saturday night show, I pick one topic and I talk about it the whole night. So this feels so exciting to me that I get to talk about all kind of things. This is very cool. I love that show. I love this show too. Everybody wins.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Mostly me.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just looked up. First of all, let me back up before I tell you what I just looked up and saw. There is great chaos in the studio tonight because there was this great band that Justin Kaufman had just a bit ago. We are going to have a musical guest coming up in a bit. Also, there's a Christmas tree. There's a mantle with half a Santa sticking out of it. There's like some garland with elves and giant ornaments, giant ones.
From this thing on the side here, this mantle, are we supposed to assume that Santa's stuck? Is that the situation?
It's anything you want. It's
got it. Okay.
It's its own little glass half full, glass half empty. Santa's coming in, Santa's going out.
Got it. Oh, that's a nice way to look at it. Okay, I never thought, because I thought maybe we should try to save him. Is there some sort of scenario where we're rescuing Santa from this horrible situation that he's in?
He's just hanging out.
All right.
He's there. You know, my friend and former coworker was in the building the night of the light parade with her two little children. And she said, hey, can we pop in on the commercial and just, you know, show them the radio? I said, sure. So we, you know, we brought them in there and posed one of them at the microphone so it looked like she was on the air at, you know, two. And then immediately she looked over and she was like, why is Santa sticking out of the wall? She was really
freaked out
by it.
Right.
And I was like, he's just practicing.
We should have a screen we slide in front whenever there are kids in studio to block the stuck Santa situation.
Yeah, there's that whole thing. So there's that. But it is lovely and festive. Mm-hmm. And my Lord, there's so much glitter on the floor in here right now.
Oh, my God.
There's
and
a lot.
So many microphones. It looks like we're going to have like a 12-piece band come in. That is not what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, you know what? I may have to put a little video up on Facebook or something. There are so many microphones and so many wires.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to fall over something on the way in because there was a lot going on, lots of musical instruments.
I mean, radio stations typically look very technology-oriented, but this looks incredible.
This is a whole new level.
Right.
This is next
level. I don't know how you found your microphone along all the other ones.
I just picked one
right.
and started talking into
this
it.
Is working
and it,
out well.
And it worked out fine. Well, anyway, it is delightful to be here. When was the last time I was in for Patty, Craig? Because I feel like it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I know you've done a few this year, but I can't remember a few months ago.
It's always a joy, that's mm-hmm. for sure. What's been happening? I only see you when I fill in for Patty.
Nah, I'm doing nothing. I mean, the holiday season, there's a lot of stuff going on. Last year, my wife's family visited from Mexico, so we had like 2 weeks of 6 or 7 relatives staying in my apartment, which was very small.
That's really fun.
Right. So this year, I've been very excited, not to be mean, that they're not coming, that they're not going to be able to make the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love seeing them, but it's sort of great to have just the two of us in one bedroom.
I would say also the key word that you said was apartment.
Right.
Not
giant house.
Mansion with 7 bedrooms for 7 guests.
Not sprawling, like, you know, guest studio situations. No, it's just a one bedroom.
Oh,
and
that's
a
lot.
Yeah. So I've been having a lot of flashbacks to that.
Where did you put...
So we have like kind of a dining room area and then a living room, which are independent rooms.
Sure.
So we put 3 people in the dining room and then 4 people were in the living room. Yes, that's a thing that happened. Yeah, that really did. And there were children. Some of those are children, so they were okay. You know.
And one bathroom?
Yeah. I would go to Target, which is a few blocks away. Seriously, Amy, there was a bunch of times where I was like, I'm not gonna spend my time waiting. I'm just gonna go to Target. Come back. And I wound up getting a lot of stuff that I didn't need that season.
Like, I have 79 rolls of paper towels.
Yeah, to be nostalgic, I almost feel like just going to Target every so often this year. And it was snowing out, and it was just a walk for me. Yeah. But I also had vacation last week, so that was nice.
Yeah, what did you do on your vacation?
I did nothing.
Good for you.
Right.
There's not enough of that in the world.
No, they're really
doing nothing.
There was a lot of conversations with my wife. Should we go somewhere? Should we take a drive somewhere? No, let's just do nothing. It's really
good for you.
My batteries are all recharged.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's a thing. That's important to do that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. Right. I watched a bunch of Netflix.
Oh, anything good?
Well, actually, it's not Netflix. It's Amazon Prime and that Mozart in the Jungle show. You should check that out.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I've heard that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Seen all that. 10 episodes. It's sad when something ends though. When it comes out and then you get to binge it all, and then it's over. I don't know what to. I just want more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about the binge watching.
I know.
That's true. I have some of them that I have watched. I've loved so much. I've kind of grieved them when it's over. You're like, but I'm so into those people.
Yeah.
I miss them.
Breaking Bad for me is something that I'm halfway through now.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very scared to have it end because there's no new coming out ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a one-off experience.
That's a thing.
Mm-hmm. this is depressing.
I'm kind of envious of your staycation and Netflix and battery recharging thing that you did.
What have you been doing?
Not chilling, doing nothing.
No. You're always so busy.
I'm always doing stuff. I'm one of those people, I just like to have lots of different projects going at the same time. One thing that I have been working on is like at the end of the year, I kind of like take stock and like, okay, what did I do? But for the last couple of months, I've been using, because I'm always trying to look for a way to be more productive because I'm not doing enough. And I don't want to sacrifice sleep. So the only thing left is to do things even better. So I've created this spreadsheet that's like a scoreboard. So I look at all my goals and I like move the needle on them all the different goals each day.
That's amazing.
And it gets a little complicated. It's a full-time job to manage the scoreboard.
Are you doing well? Are you scoring often?
Yes. And you know what? It's no. No to that particular question.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No. But it is increasing my productivity because I actually kind of have to check out on each one.
Is it sort of like when you were a kid and you got stickers on the wall?
Very much like that. Okay. It is a progress chart, but I do. It makes me very accountable to myself. You
strike me as the kind of person that as a kid really wanted the most stickers.
Oh, my God. I wanted all the stickers. All the stickers. I remember when I, and this is like in line with that, when I was in probably third or fourth grade, I was one of the finalists of the spelling bee. And I screwed up and I got eliminated. And I was sitting there going, I was, you know, disappointed. And I went and sat down. And then if you're eliminated, you have to go sit in the auditorium. You can't sit on the stage anymore. You're done. So I went and sat down in the auditorium and I was sitting next to my friend Tim. And he was like, well, you did a good job. And I was like, I may have to flunk third grade so I can do this again. Like it was just that. What?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think you should have gone that road.
Stressed out little child I was that I was like, I can't go to fourth grade
like
without having won the spelling bee.
How did I come in third in this?
Right. And it was a ridiculous word. I don't remember what it was. I should remember.
You should remember. I remember the word that I missed.
What was it?
Neighbor. Yeah, I know. That's not that hard. That's not that hard of a word.
How did you spell it?
N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R.
Well,
neighbor,
color, flavor, favorite.
Yeah, you know, I was throwing a little flavor into my word.
I'm just making it Canadian, you
right?
Guys.
Yeah,
that's
come
all
on,
I'm
guys.
Doing. That's
not
all
such
I'm
a big
doing.
Deal. Yeah, that one hurt though. You're right. I was very disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I've been doing is I have the Duolingo app on my phone. Have you ever messed with
that? I have that too. Yeah.
Well, we should follow each other because we can. Speaking of earning stars, you can compete against each other.
You're going to be beating me by a lot.
Well, because I'll forget and then I'll do it for like 8 days in a row and then I'll forget. But it's a language learning tool and it's so excellent. But there's a new feature that is so fun. And this is going to sound so sad and pathetic, but it's really fun. Okay, so you go in and you do all these exercises to learn the language you're working on. And then it gives you, it's sort of like a mock text message situation. Have you reached that?
You text message with a computer is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And it takes you through these little conversations.
And it's pretending it's a person?
Yes. It's extremely helpful because
oh,
then you get to kind
so
of do
lonely,
it.
Though.
Exactly. You're like, and I was like telling a friend of mine, so I'm working on learning Spanish.
Me too.
And I was telling a friend of mine who is bilingual, I was saying all of this and it was like, well, what are the conversations? And I was kind of relaying them and it was just this look like what, why don't you just text people?
Yeah, why don't you text people who speak the language?
You know, like several people that are right. Bilingual English and Spanish. Why don't you just text them instead of having this conversation that was like, it was a step up from...
But wait a minute. It would give you so much confidence to feel like you could text with someone who speaks Spanish, and yet you don't embarrass yourself because the computer's not going to make fun of you.
That's where I'm at with this.
Right.
Because I'm like, I can make my mistakes, mm-hmm. do my thing. It does have some... I mean, it's also like bowling with bumpers because there's certain things that'll be like, that's, you start typing, it'll be like, that's not an answer
that's
you're going to
so
give.
That's so sweet, dear, but
it
that's
it won't
correct.
Even let you send it if it's oh, wow. really off. It'll be like, I think you're in another conversation.
Now, how friendly are you with this computer? Are you sending messages that you're really treating it like a person?
It prompts you.
Okay.
And it steers the conversation. It cares about me, Craig.
By the way, from the 773, they're saying French is more fun, apparently, than Spanish.
I did that one. I went to...
Do you speak French then?
Well, here's my deal with French. I went to an elementary school for reasons that are unclear to me to this day and also unclear to my parents. I went to an elementary school in which I was required to take French. And I don't know why. And I did that. And those are my people. The Guths are from the Alsace region of France. So then I never used it. Because where... I was living in Atlanta at the time.
Now the French hub of the United States.
Right, right. So then I just didn't really use it. Then when I have traveled to French-speaking places, mm-hmm. after about a day, it'll come back.
Oh, that's cool.
And it'll just show up.
So when you travel, though, you can then have full conversations and you can do things.
I can navigate. It takes me a little time.
I'm jealous
know,
of that.
To go there. But I'll always go, man, I wish I would have kept with it. Because like right now I couldn't say much. But then... When I'm immersed in it, mm-hmm. and the thing that always clicks is I'll have a dream in French. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, okay, I'm good. I'm back. It's all good.
Are you doing fancy French things? Is that what the dream's about? Or is it like a film noir?
And nope, then you're just, it's okay. just a regular, like it might be us sitting here having this conversation.
What?
En français. That's it.
Wow.
So.
I do that too, but it's not real language. I have dreams that I'm speaking like Spanish, but I know that's not real Spanish.
Ixnay anguagelay.
Yeah, that wasn't, those weren't, I said taco a lot. That wasn't useful in that conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I figure with, I feel like with French, Spanish, and Italian, if you learn one, it's much easier to grab the others. I took Japanese in college a little bit, which was really interesting. It is a very different language, and having, you know, come from the Romance languages and English into Japanese, some of it was much easier, and in some ways, some of it was much harder, because it's not like the, you know, with Spanish, Italian, and French, you're like conjugating those verbs. You're not doing that in Japanese at all.
I went to Japanese camp in a grade school. There was a camp that I went to for the summer, and that was Japanese camp. It was great. We did like a week of learning the language, and then we went to a few locations that, you know.
What weird elementary schools did we go to that you went to camp and I was like.
Yeah, you learned French. Japanese camp was great.
Where is that?
That was in New Jersey. We just did. It was at Brookdale Community College, which our grade school paired with that college. And we just did Japanese camp. I didn't question it. As a 10-year-old kid, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Do you remember any of it?
No. I feel like Wai-ying is a word that means something. I think it might mean hello.
I think you're not supposed to say it on the radio.
I really hope so. I feel like that's okay.
Somewhere you're just horrified.
Right.
Someone listening to the
someone's like, calling in now.
Right.
This is terrible.
I don't remember a lot of it, but the classes that I took in college were, there was a male and female instructors, and they were really concerned with how we held our voices. And so they split the room, and like women sat on one side, men on the other. And it was very much like men say it this way, women say it this way. And she used to lecture us about she's like, it's very important in professional settings, if you're trying to speak Japanese, that you need to soften your voice. Don't be this like big, dumb, noisy American. And it took a long time for me. In the second class, it wasn't taught like that at all. And that was taught by someone who was like, she was kind of hip and cool, and what, you know, not that the other ones weren't, but they weren't, right? And so it took me a while to kind of shake off.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how I deal with that.
The very soft and pleasant way she wanted us to talk.
Yeah. I don't know that I could handle that. Yeah. There's a difference for how I'm supposed to speak compared to you.
But it was fun, and we got to eat a lot of stuff.
I got to eat stuff too. Eating stuff was the best part.
And it was the language to take if you did not want to get up at 7 a.m., which in college I did not. So there you have it. All right. So we're going to take a little break, my friends. And when we come back, lots of stuff to do tonight on the show. We've got a musical guest coming in. That's going to be super fun. We're going to be talking about future jobs that do not exist yet, but nonetheless should or will soon enough. And we're going to be talking with Rex Hupke from Chicago Tribune here in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez this evening. That is a fine song, and I appreciate you playing it, Craig.
Hey, you're welcome.
Man, I love that song. I like the one you played before. Smiths and Cure. It's not even midnight. This is a fine evening, and I'm super excited about it.
Wait, real quick, from the 815, we got a text. I went to grade school in Palatine, District 15. We had to take French from third grade through eighth grade.
Oh.
That's a lot of French.
That's a lot.
I wonder if does 815, can you say anything in French now?
Quick, text in
French. Like, Texas, say French stuff.
Say French stuff.
At a young age, though, did you retain? You said you can do it when you like fall into someone, you're submerged.
But... Absolutely. There was. I remember we had this this big competition in which we all had to recite relatively famous poetry, and I won that. And then
wait, how many things did you win as a kid? Then,
well, not many. I was queen of being runner up.
Okay,
but I won this, and then I was a little bit older when I learned a little more about, because I knew the words, but some of them were just too, you know, I was little, so the words were just too big for me. And then when I understood and expanded my French vocabulary, I was like, oh, this poem is a super freaking downer, because it's about a guy whose wife dies and he's seeing her ghost everywhere in nature, and you know, and in a way that maybe a little French speaking child wouldn't have said. Like,
I'm not smart enough to have that with languages, but there were a lot of songs that I liked as a kid that I hear now, and I'm like, wow, the meaning of this song was terrible. That's a really great, and I wish I had examples.
I put you on the spot.
You did. You put me right on the spot. There's a lot of, like, you know, Britney Spears and NSYNC and stuff sang. I wasn't so little then.
I was like, what?
But they sang sexual material that I didn't understand. But that's just because I was an innocent young man. I didn't understand what any of that meant. Oops, I did it again. I thought that was about something completely different.
I thought she just dropped something.
Right, yeah. I thought she just kept dropping stuff all over the place.
Nope, no.
That was a made-up example, Amy. I should have had better ones.
Way to go.
Thank you. No, I know.
I'm going to completely turn to another topic for a minute.
Go ahead, yes.
Because I just saw something on the internet that is not sitting well with me. And that is, I love candles. However, this one, I'm not sure about it. It is a KFC candle.
Chicken, KFC chicken.
So that your home can smell like fried chicken.
That sounds amazing.
I'm not saying that's a disgusting smell. I'm saying that's a delightful smell. I just don't know that I would want it in my house without following up with the chicken.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, so my house is just going to smell like fried chicken and then I'm just going to eat this here bowl of kashi or whatever? No. No.
Yeah, would I use the candle when I'm not hungry?
No.
Because that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
Right.
And it wouldn't trick you into thinking like, this grilled chicken is going to taste like KFC fried chicken when I... No. So, so here's what I propose. I think we should not do that. And I think perhaps we should, in the spirit of Festivus, right? Festivus for the rest of us, we should perhaps air some grievances, particularly in the vein of products that maybe should not exist. Let's call it, can you not? We're going to do that a little bit later in the show. Can you not do whatever? So be thinking of your answers because we're going to be soliciting them and talking about them on the air. But now let us take a little break and check in upstairs with Rob Martier for news. And is the news your sponsor yet? Yeah, no. But we're going to take a break. And then we come back. Then we're going to go to news. That's what we're going to do here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez this evening. And it's Monday, and so we are keeping the Music Monday tradition alive and well. J-May is here, and from her new CD, To Tell the Truth, one of her new CDs, we're going to talk about that in a minute, from one of her new CDs, To Tell the Truth, this is I Stand Up For Me.
When I stand, I stand up for me, and all my desires stand up tall as a tree. We sit in the shade, we swim in the sea. When I stand, I stand up for me. When you stand, you stand up for you. Try and deny it, but I can see through. You lack all things I lack too. But understand when you stand up for you. When he stands, he stands up for him. And it ain't for you that he's on a limb. Spotlight shines, darling, moonlight is dim. But understand when he stands up for him. And when she stands, she stands up for her. And you stand wide-eyed, cast aside as it were. Tell me to you, did it ever occur? When she stands, she stands up for her. Na 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 na. When they stand, they stand up for them. So pick up your weapon, darling, put down your pen. Compete, you've been caught and condemned. Understand when they stand up for them. 'Cause when we stand, we all stand alone. So don't ask for favors that throw you no bone. Nobody's waiting to welcome you home. When we stand, we stand all alone. Oh, 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 oh. When I stand, I stand up for me. and all of my desires stand up tall as a tree, swim in the shade, sit in the sea. But when I stand, I stand up for.
Lovely.
Oh, my.
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. Will you play another one for us? How about Fallen Like Snow?
All right. Let me tune. The thing about this cold weather is I got to tune a lot.
Right.
So I've never played this live. I just released this record, and it's from, it's called Fallen Like Snow, as you said. Hold on.
Nice and festive one, since we have all the decorations up here in the studio.
Yeah, this is for people on Christmas who kind of don't have something to celebrate, maybe. My eyes blink like lights blink on a tree. I think you're getting to me. Christmas is supposed to be a happy time of year. Christmas is supposed to be a happy time of year. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling in slow motion like snow. Lights gleam, snow melting on a frozen stream. Christmas is supposed to be a happy time of year. Christmas is supposed to be a happy time of year. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling in slow motion like snow. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling. Falling in slow motion like snow. How do I sleep when you're constantly on my mind? Do I keep strong when love's unkind? Constantly on my mind. How do I speak words to make you mine? I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling in slow motion like snow. I think I'm falling. I think I'm falling. Falling in slow motion like snow.
gorgeous.
Sorry about, man, this last note was a little flat.
No, oh my,
no,
sweet, it
was,
oh my
beautiful.
Sweet God.
Thank you. I've never,
oh my God.
That's haunting and so, so beautiful. That is from the new album, Falling Like Snow, from Jay May, who is here in studio. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we will chat about the show coming up tomorrow night in Evanston, the albums, plural, because they're both out, they're both new, and we will be talking about that in just a bit here on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez, and we're keeping the tradition of Music Monday alive and well. Jay May is here in studio with us, who just played us two beautiful songs from her two new albums. That's right, two. She's not just doing like one new. She's got two new, and I've got them right here in my hands, and they're so lovely. And we're going to hear another song here in just a bit, but thanks for coming by and visiting us tonight.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And you have a show coming up tomorrow night at Space in Evanston,
mm-hmm.
and you're touring all around, but it seems like you tour a lot. You've gone everywhere.
I have been everywhere, but that's been over the course of 13 years. I kind of don't tour that much, but this will be a very cold Midwest tour. Illinois, we're going to Detroit, well, we're Michigan. I think I'm going to Indiana. I think I'm going to Ohio. I think that's the end of it.
For next tour,
mm-hmm.
hit the Floridian zones in the winter. Come back and visit us in the spring. Yeah. It's much nicer, I promise you. Yeah. I promise.
This is so festive, though.
It is, and we've got it super festive in here. Michigan Avenue is all lit up and so nice. And so tell me about these albums in particular. The most recent one, Fallen Like Snow.
The first one, I think, was released in August, to tell the truth. I had a crazy illness. I had to cancel a whole headline 3-week tour, and that was about coping with that. There's songs on there called, like, Enlighten Me, to tell the truth, and I think that was kind of like me grappling with the whole issue. I actually spent a year in a bed, very sick. Then I got a bit better, and I moved to California for 6 months, and I saw this one-man show about Irving Berlin, and that inspired me to record this Christmas album that actually was an advent calendar. So I recorded 26 songs in Venice Beach, California, and I went to the Czech Republic and recorded with the Prague Philharmonic, and I recorded with the UCLA Children's Choir. It was like a whole big production, and I chose 13 of those songs, and that became that album, Fallen Like Snow, which was just released on December 2nd, and that's that song you just heard, Fallen Like Snow, which I never performed live, so that was fun for me.
That's exciting.
Live. Yeah, thank you.
It was the live premiere right here in WGN That's Radio. Right. And how did that come about that you were recording with the Prague Philharmonic?
It was so happenstance. I played a show at Holtec Cafe in Los Angeles, and this producer, Daniel Ballardinelli, approached me, and he's like, you want to record a record? And I was like, I just made a record, but maybe, like, I always want to do a Christmas album. I have a huge family. It's a humongous tradition. And he's like, oh, I have these crazy connections. We could go to Prague. It's actually so much cheaper to record there with all these musicians. It's like a great opportunity. And it was my first time performing without hiding behind an instrument. I was really singing with an orchestra. It was crazy. I thought that was a golden opportunity. But sure. I never anticipated that ever. Moving to California and singing about snow was not the plan.
Not usually the way it's done.
No.
Well, that's interesting. I love what you just said about the first time not hiding behind an instrument.
Mm.
What did that do for you creatively?
Well, now it's changed my whole vision for a performance. So now, like in 2017, I think I'm going to reinvent my whole live performance, and I might be more like a performance artist. And I do a lot of artwork, like you could tell on the cover, to tell mm-hmm. the truth. That's me designing the cover in sand. But I design a lot of artwork, in that when I was sick, I started drawing a lot. And I think I might incorporate that as part of my shows, where people can kind of walk around with a glass of wine and look at the art, and I'll be performing live. And it's not so much relying upon the typical songwriter venue. It will be more like, an art gallery. And I just think that would be more exciting.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so as you're moving into, I know you've just put out two CDs, but mm-hmm. as you're thinking ahead and thinking into that performance art space, what do you think that will do, and how do you think that will shape your music?
I think it's going to get weirder. I think I'm weirder than I seem on recordings. Like,
I love
that's just the truth. I'm today. We went to the Art Institute. I can't believe I've never been, but typically when I go on tour, my manager will tell you this, but all we do is go to the art museums, and it's crazy. But I hear this from artists all the time, that you are inspired by the thing that you don't do. So I'm a songwriter, but I'm always exposing myself to art, and that's the fodder, right? And so I don't remember the question.
Once you start blending those two things, it'll be interesting to see where you
land.
It's
always coming from a voice. It always ends up being a voice, no matter how it comes out. So, yeah, I'm very inspired by art.
Do you have a sense of what, we have this album that's coming out right now that's holiday themed. Do you have kind of an inkling of where you'll probably go first, theme-wise, when you move into a performance art space?
Oh, my God.
Because it certainly felt like the first song that you played felt a little, in the current context, felt a little political.
Well, I thought, okay, if anyone has a protest song, like maybe that's my first protest song, but the whole political thing happening in 2016, that was a direct result of what's happening. The new stuff will be, more esoteric, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't had time to think about it.
Sure.
But I hope it's weird. I want to do more, like, electronic stuff and not on a guitar and just sing, not mm-hmm. have an instrument and have maybe a couple other musicians. I don't know.
I love that. I don't think I've ever thought about, I don't think I've ever heard a musician say that in those terms about not hiding behind an instrument.
Oh,
yeah. I don't think I've ever even thought about it as hiding. It's just kind of an extension of your performance, is having a guitar or whatever instrument in front of you.
Totally. When I watched the recording of me performing, I realized that, oh my God, you really use your hands and gesticulate when you're performing. And maybe that's like part of your thing that you never discovered because you are hiding behind this piano or a guitar. So I'm going to investigate and see what happens. I have no idea.
Cool. I love it. I love
you,
that
Amy,
very
Amy.
Much. And so space tomorrow.
Amy. I just said your name wrong 3 times. I'm like, Annie, Amy.
I answered all those things.
Yeah. The space tomorrow. 8 o'clock. With Starving in the Belly of the Whale. We're on this like little tour and I've never performed there, and it's all ages show.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's very cool. That's mm-hmm. very, very fun. I know that's a lot of times you'll see people bemoaning that it shows that like the under 21 can't get in.
Constantly.
And that's very cool that all ages are welcome there. And so everybody go to that. Go to the website, get tickets, do all those things, or just beg, borrow, steal to get in tomorrow night. So will you play us one more before we go to break?
Yes, thank you so much. Sure.
Okay. And what is this one?
This is called Why Not Don't Resist Me. I wrote this when I was sick. It's never been released, but I have some really ridiculous YouTube videos, very experimental, performing this song. Here's a new version.
Okay. We're changing microphones. We're doing some stuff.
Oh, I'm so excited for stuff to get weird.
I know.
She said she's getting weird. Let's get weird.
I know. I had that feeling. Like, as soon as you said performance art, I was like, okay, I want to talk about that. Because that sounds exciting.
I want to go to there.
All right. What's going to happen? So, yeah, I'm just trying some new stuff tonight. So we'll see what happens.
Great. So this is J-May playing Why Not Don't Resist Me.
Okay. Some wounds time won't heal, sitting here writing exactly how I feel. Who's to say I'll always feel this way? All I know is for now I acted stupid a million times. Yes, no, yes, no, I changed my mind. I'm reliable as ever till I turn on a dime. Love you, then ignore you. What a waste of time. Just imagine other things happening right here, because I have no idea what to fill in this space. I feel like an orchestra or something. I miss you like I miss NYC. Traveling on a road, lonely as can be. I think of my lost opportunity. I did this to myself, what's wrong with me? It seems all I do is drink coffee, write, record, and pretend it's enough. Writing love songs ain't therapy, darling. Writing love songs won't write you off. When you are in a foreign land, holding in your someone else's hand, do I creep into your thoughts? Am I banned? Do I creep in your thoughts ever? Sometimes I forget about you, a day, a week, a month or two, but then somehow you're back in view, so I can't say I never, ever
miss you. I do. Million fish in the sea. That's 20 for you. That must leave one for me. Oh my God, oh my God. I should feel so lucky when I wish on a fishing rod. But I feel so low down, looking down. I look up where clouds abound and I spy a funky New York town and I'll pray on that instead. Oh, lately, yes, I walk streets, a rainbow puddle, cold concretes. Questions I ask ain't discreet, but still they're ones I dread. And they go like this, don't write them down. You never remember, you already drowned. The thought of me, once so profound, once the only thing that made your heart boom sounds. A shadow cast on a distant sea, never to be featured prominently. And it hurts so bad, it's so hard to breathe. How come you never miss me? How come you never kiss me? Why not? Don't resist me, darling.
Nice.
Thank you so
nice.
Much. Thanks for letting me play that. I need to practice that one.
That was lovely. All three songs you played for us tonight are so lovely. Everybody, jaymaymusic.com, J-A-Y-M-A-Y music.com. You can find out about the show tomorrow night at Space in Evanston. Go to that for sure. And also find out about all the dates on this Midwest tour to support the new album called Fallen Like Snow. Very, very beautiful. Thanks for being with us tonight. We're going to take a little break and then get you to news here in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Our finest gifts we bring, power up a bum bum. Today before the king, power up a bum bum, rup a bum bum, rup a bum bum. So to honor him, power up a bum bum, when we come.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez. We had to play one more song from J-May, who is just here in studio with us. You are definitely going to want to hit that podcast, WGNradio.com, after the show and play all that back because that was so lovely. You're also going to want to go to her website. Again, it's J-May Music, J-A-Y-M-A-Y, music.com, and find her on social media. And lastly, you're also going to want to go to her show tomorrow night in Evanston at Space. Super lovely music. I was so mesmerized as she was in here playing. I was just like,
What is happening?
I forgot about the microphone and the show, and I was like, this is just lovely. I'm just into this, listening to all these things happening right now.
I was taken to an amazing place. I'm going to go to Space tomorrow. I'm going to try to squeeze that in before the show we're doing tomorrow night.
That's the thing.
You got to get over there, yeah.
Wait, how do we? Maybe we could do a live broadcast from Space.
Every time I've come up with that idea on the air, WGN has not been able to put it together in 24 hours, but maybe this time it'll happen.
Well, calling them out on the air will sure get it done. That's gonna
I imagine it's very difficult. No, I'm sure that the management doesn't love the idea of coming up with it, you know, right here for tomorrow. But
there's one thing I know about management of WGN Radio, and it's they like being called out on the air.
I don't know. I didn't do that.
I know. I'm picking on you.
I was asking for miracles. I understand that. It's the holiday season, though, so maybe it could happen.
You don't ask, you don't get.
Right? That's true.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally
with
you.
I'm going to go assuming that it all worked out, and we're broadcasting from there.
Why do I feel like I'm going to be producing this show myself tomorrow
night? I think
you might be,
because
you're going to be stuck in Evanston.
I'm going to be jamming, though.
Mesmerized.
Space. Yeah. She's incredible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a weird segue. Speaking of management.
All right, go ahead.
It is the time of year that a lot of people are having office parties. I know I have seen a couple of regrets tweeted and posted to Facebook. I may or may not have a friend who texted me about some unfortunate incidents, not involving her, but like stuff at her office party of like, oh, so-and-so from accounting just Xeroxed his butt or whatever, you know. The things that make you cringe when you do the coworker thing.
First of all, I have to applaud your segue because that was incredibly well done. I mean, you took the one little management sentence and you turned it into this. That was amazing.
I didn't even mean to set that up. I was just like,
that was perfect.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. I saw it. I took it.
Have you seen any horrible things happen at company parties? You don't have to say company or people involved.
Not really. I mean, well, wait, that's a lot. Hang on.
I was like, this is good.
I was like, no, not at all. And then, wait a minute.
I remember that one time.
I do recall, and I have had many jobs in my life, so it's not here. I'm saying that right now. It ain't here. But I do recall someone throwing up on the boss's shoes.
Oh, that's got to be a mistake. It's got to not go well.
I was neither of those people.
Right.
I also recall a certain boss calling me a word I can't say on the air for not doing shots.
Wow.
But it was basically calling me a chicken.
Right.
With an addendum.
Mm-hmm.
For not doing...
a different word for that.
With chicken plus.
Got
right,
it. Okay.
For not doing shots.
Wow.
Of gin.
Gin's not a good thing to shoot.
Gin's not a thing you shoot.
No, it's not.
Shots are a bad idea anyway.
Shots are typically a bad idea in all places, but
it's never
going to
go well.
It's got to be especially terrible.
I feel like there's a couple of scenarios that if you choose to have alcohol in your life,
mm-hmm.
there are some times when a shot is like, you know, something really terrible just happened. Like
if I'm celebrating something and I want to, I don't know, there's every so often a shot or especially a shot ski is an okay.
What is that?
It's a ski that has shots on it that you take as a group.
What?
Yeah, it's fun. You can do that every so often. It's a
what
very celebratory.
What fraternity house are we in right now?
No, it's communal. You have three or four guys all standing together and you do a shot ski. The one guy spills if he's the shortest. That was always me.
That's
I was always
not
the
a
shortest.
Thing.
No, it's a thing.
I don't, to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know that a shot has ever felt celebratory.
You've okay. Well,
it feels
maybe you've
exasperated.
Never done the right shot.
Maybe.
For the right moment.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
had a celebratory drink?
Yeah. Like, okay. I feel like champagne,
mm-hmm.
wine.
What about if something really great happened that was very surprising? Maybe not something that you expected, not something that you were...
Champagne.
Okay.
In fact, I have a rule. I always keep a bottle of champagne in my fridge. Because you never know.
You know what's really great about champagne is actually opening the bottle, not necessarily drinking it. And that's a very shot-like moment. It's a quick...
It's all about the drama of drinking.
Right.
Well...
I mean, champagne,
anyway.
You sip that. I feel like when you're celebrating with champagne, it's like, I did something that I expected to do.
Right, but it's the cocaine of alcohols. And so when it, like, especially if it comes out later in the evening.
True, yeah.
Like, it's
Watch
about
out.
To get weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't drink that at your holiday party.
Don't
have a bottle of champagne.
I just feel like, because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make you bond with your coworkers necessarily to get wasted.
That is true.
At the office Christmas party. If you go out after work and like, hey, after work today, let's go get a drink and go to happy hour. That's one thing. That will get you to bond with coworkers for sure. But like getting ripped at the office holiday party is probably not the place to do it. Also, you will look like a big old jerk to management.
Yeah. If you need liquid courage to hang out with your coworkers, maybe don't go to the holiday party.
maybe
just go ahead and skip that.
Maybe you're working at the wrong place.
Right. Maybe right. Maybe you need a different opportunity because that seems to be the thing that everyone will say. They'll say, you know, I need a drink or two so that I'm looser, that I'm more fun at the holiday party. That's not a place where you need to have fun, though. You could be very professional. Honestly, that sounds terrible, but I think it's true. You can enjoy your time, but you don't need to have a party. Even though it's called a party, I find that the people who party at a holiday party are the ones making a mistake.
Well, here's the trick about our profession is
yeah.
that it's 24/7, so there's always someone on.
That's true.
And so it's always tricky when you're working in a broadcast setting in a newsroom of any kind and someone's always got to be at the wheel. So there's always going to be at least one person who's intact and okay, can drive, can make a sound decision, et cetera. The All, AWL, has a piece about this, all about how not to drink at the office Christmas party, which is, you know, useful. But there's one sentence that I really like. Well, there's many, but one in particular. It says this, and I can tell you this. Your drunk self is not funnier, sexier, smarter, or more interesting than your sober one. It's just less inhibited. That is so very true. And such a thing that we need to hang on to, because a lot of times people are like, well, I'm feeling a little anxious. I'll have a drink, loosen up. That's fine. But also remember, like, if you're nervous, you're probably going to be fidgeting, and fidgeting leads to sipping.
Yeah.
Which leads to drunkenness, which leads to, like, you know, throwing up on your boss or something.
No, that's true. Sometimes that if I'm holding a drink, I'll just keep sipping it, even if maybe I'm getting a little bit more intoxicated than I should, just because it's in my hand and it's something.
You're just thirsty.
Yeah. Because, you know, you start socializing and you're interacting and you want to move around a little bit. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, I'm not a big drinker anyway, but I tend to stick to, like, the classic club soda and a lime if it's a setting where I need to be, you know, chatty and schmoozy. But also, like, alcohol dries your throat. And in our profession, we think a lot about our throats being dry or not, right? And so, if you're sitting there talking, usually over loud music, and you're drinking and all that, I don't love it.
Right.
I sound like such an old lady right now.
No, it's totally fine. I had a guy go too far at a holiday party as well. Also
Tell
not
me.
Here. This was a sales job that I had at one point. And one of the guys who was sort of new to the team got drunk, and he just loved everybody too much. It was
one of those.
Yeah, you got so, you know, intoxicated, bud, that you started hugging and celebrating, and the rest of us, we weren't there. You went to a 10, and the rest of us all stayed, because it was a small sales team. We all stayed at like a 3, and so you were very much at the top. I think he almost got fired at that, because there's a line where, you know, you're just being too boisterous, too crazy, that, you know, you can really put a lot of things in jeopardy that you might be surprised that can happen.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
You super can. There is, in stark contrast to the piece that's in the All
about
not drinking too much at your holiday party, there's a piece in Fast Company that is such a companion article to the one in the All, right? It is all about how to use your office holiday party to advance your career.
Boom!
Which I was like, that's not, how do you...
That seems illogical.
Or it seems like there's some, you know, not so wholesome.
Right.
Like, immediately I was like, oh, I don't want to read that. But it's not that. It's not that. It's completely professional. And one of them, this is a really good one. It's about doing your homework to make sure that you're like, okay, here's a chance where you're talking with people outside of the people that you sit next to. Because that's who you probably know the best, is like, I share a desk with this person, so I know her the best. But here you're going to be talking with people in a lot of different departments. So do a little homework so that you know, like a little more about the people that are going to be there, know a little bit about the boss, all those things. That's a key one. I'm going to argue with this one, though, and that one is get there early.
Oh, lame. That's always lame. You should never get anywhere early.
You don't need to be fashionably late.
Right.
But, like, getting there early, it makes the awkward thing where you're standing there.
Right, because, like, you're the first one.
Here, I'll stir the crab dip while you finish getting dressed or whatever, because I'm super early.
I don't know. Getting there late, I mean, you should always show up on time to work. If you're doing something that's responsible, you should show up on time to that. But party things, it seems like getting there late, you can squeeze in a little easier.
Yeah, but I think for a work party, you do need to, like, fashionably late
okay.
should be a little
right.
If I'm smaller of a window.
So not like an hour into the party. And Craig showed up. I guess he's here.
Right. And then he finally dragged his butt in, whatever, as we were winding up.
Seems like he hates all of us.
Right. That guy hates us. Well, I think that's another thing.
That is true.
I think you're obligated to go to your office party.
Oh, for sure.
Like, so if you actually like your coworkers, like
Brilliant.
We do here, great.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's fine. If you do not, then it's torturous, but you must go, because to not go, you're making a statement by not being there.
Oh, for sure. Depending on how big, I guess, your company is, if you wouldn't be noticed, then maybe it's not the end of the world. But if anyone there would notice that you're missing, you have to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think even if it's a huge company party.
Really? Like if you were like at the bottom rung of a huge company, I guess from your article that you're reading, you could advance your career.
You could advance your career.
Yeah.
You go in, you make sure that your direct supervisor sees you,
mm-hmm.
say hello, thank you so much, this is great. Then you go to that person's supervisor. Hi, great to see you. This is so great. I was just telling, insert name of supervisor, how nice
Hold
this
on,
is.
I'm writing notes. You're doing a great job.
I'm so happy to be here. This is great. And then, you know, out you go.
Right.
You don't have to be there long, but I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Another point mentioned in this Fast Company piece is don't talk about work. which is hard because
that
that's kind of
really
what you have.
Right.
And especially if you're doing something you really like.
Right.
I think that's something we probably fall into a lot because, like, this is fun.
I guess you're right, though. It's a lot easier to do research on people now that social media and everything exists.
Right. Hey, so-and-so from accounting. I was just stalking your Facebook, and I couldn't help but notice
there's
that...
There's got to be a better way. I was just on your Facebook for the last 11 hours. I liked a photo from 6 years ago. I apologize for that.
Right. You really creeped on someone's Instagram and liked, like, a two-year-old photo. Like,
oh,
well,
whenever that happens, I am so scared. By accident, if you do happen to creep, which I'm not admitting to doing or denying, per se... and you accidentally like something that's a little dated, that to me is a very fearful moment in social media.
Well, but if there's hashtags on it, that's probably how they discovered it.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know? Okay.
All right, that's a good excuse.
So I have a hashtag that has recently, like a lot of my old photos have gotten likes lately around a particular hashtag, and that is the Hell Yes Jar.
This is amazing.
I use that. It is my, I have a giant jar in my house, and every day I put at least one piece of paper in there stating something I'm grateful for that day, or something that was awesome or just fun or cool or whatever.
You're helping me get promoted at my jobs. You're helping me explain my weird liking of a two-year-old Facebook post. Thank you, Goot. This is incredible.
I'm here to help.
Yeah, oh, man.
Good times. But anyway, like I noticed someone had been liking, and the first Hell Yes Jar photo from this year is from like January.
Oh.
And I was like, ooh, why are all these people? Oh, because I posted something about it and all these people.
Well, I guess if a lot of people do it, then that makes sense, right? You know? Then it seems more like it's becoming popular all over again.
Yes. At first, it was about six spam/porn bots that liked it. So at first, it seemed a little weird. But once I blocked them, then it was legitimate people.
You know, my Instagram doesn't have a lot of followers yet, so I'm okay with the porn bots following me. I let them do it. You know, as many followers as I can get right now.
No.
Take them all in. No, I should delete those?
Yeah.
Because I'm not following them back. That would be
No, you just go in there and block them.
Okay.
If you really want to be a good citizen, report and block.
But it says I have like 230 followers instead of 205.
Yeah, but then I'm going to click and be like, oh, I wonder who follows him or whatever.
All these Craig people.
Oh, it's a bunch of pictures of women's torsos.
Okay, yeah.
That are following him and all
fair.
Their names are just a series of numbers.
Changing
That's
my life
so
again,
That's so sad.
Dude.
He's just got a bunch of robots.
Right. But they're really friendly robots,
naked,
like the one from Duolingo.
Naked robots.
Well, a little bit naked. But is it? Can a robot really be naked? Is that the right question for this? Can a robot truly be naked? I'm not sure they can.
Well, it's getting kind of deep in here. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez this evening. I'm sure you're wondering, why on earth am I playing that song? Well, I have a very good reason for it. We're joined now by Michael Gillis, who is a spokesperson for Metra. And did you know that kids are riding Metra for free here very soon? We have a little window. So, Michael, tell us about this project and why kids are riding Metra for free and what age kids are we talking about?
Yeah, so... Kids ride free on Metra on weekends all the time. We try to encourage people to ride our trains on the weekends when the passenger loads are a little down. And typically during holiday periods, we also extend that to weekdays as well. So for the period from December 17th through January 2nd, we're allowing up to three children age 11 or younger to ride free with each adult.
Is there a limit to how many kids you can have with you, or can you just bring a whole daycare of kids right there on the Metro?
Well, you have it's three per adult. So if you have two adults, you can bring six kids. So there is a limit. You know, most people coming downtown are families and probably don't exceed that limit. You know, what we're trying to do is we know a lot of families are going downtown during the holidays anyway. You know, there's just so much going on downtown during Christmas time. And we really want to be an option for them to come downtown instead of having to drive and deal with traffic and parking, to just get on one of our trains. It's a safe ride. It's a comfortable ride. It's a pleasant ride. And, you know, if we let the kids ride free, then we're really competitive with the car. And maybe we can encourage some people to ride us, try us out for the first time, or maybe try us out, you know, they haven't been on back for a while. And maybe we even grow some riders. Maybe we get some adults who haven't been on the train in a while and start riding us again. Or maybe these kids like it so much, they become writers in the future. So it's a really win-win situation for us.
Certainly, and it's certainly the environmental option, right? If we're thinking about
yeah,
things like
absolutely.
That. Now, you said something earlier that I did not realize. Kids ride free on the Metra on weekends anyway. I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, you know, weekends are a real bargain for us. You can buy a weekend pass for $8. That's good for unlimited rides on any line in our system on both Saturday and Sunday. So the adult can pay $8, and he or she can bring you know, up to three children age 11 or younger on for free.
And you also said that this is, because this is December 17th through January 2nd, this is, but this is going to happen other times of the year as well, correct?
Well, yeah, so we do it on weekends all the time. We sometimes do it in the summer. It's not always a given, but we oftentimes do it in the summer months as well. You know, generally in times when there's a lot of parents with kids traveling downtown, we try to accommodate them.
Certainly. And I'm looking at the website right now at metrorail.com, and there's a couple of guidelines on the site for this. And one of them is skip the quiet car. Do most families comply with that, or is the quiet car kind of out the window on the weekends?
Well, I will tell you, the quiet car, the rules are only in place in rush hour, so we don't have that problem on weekends. But, you know, during the weekdays, when we extend this deal to the weekdays, you do see some parents who just don't know about the rules because they're not regular riders, and they might accidentally get in the quiet car, and they might be shushed by one of our more regular riders. So, you know, we don't want to create an uncomfortable situation for them, and we want to respect that our regular riders really, really enjoy that quiet car. So we just wanted to put in our press release, you know, be aware that there is a quiet car if you're going to travel on rush hours. If you're with children, it's probably not a good idea to be in that car.
You might get some dirty looks if you've got a
bunch
of kids.
Yeah, you know, it'll happen, unfortunately. Most people are very polite, but they do really like that quiet car.
For sure. And you mentioned new riders, and so there may be maybe people don't know about going with the Ventra app. I think maybe people still think you have to get on the Metra and kind of fumble with cash and deal with it right there on the spot. But in fact, the Ventra app can be really helpful.
Yeah, really. Thank you for bringing that up, because we've been trying to spread the word about that app as much as we can. It's a really convenient thing. If you have a smartphone, and most people do these days, you know, go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Ventra app. You can buy your tickets on your smartphone, and you can display them to the conductor on your smartphone. It's like having a Metra vending ticket vending machine in your pocket, and you really just can't beat the convenience. You don't have to, you know, worry about getting to the station in advance to buy the tickets. You've got them on your phone. Most people, you know, that's the one thing they check that they have when they're going out the door, their wallet and their phone. And you know, if you have that phone, you can buy a ticket anywhere, anytime.
Heck yeah, I think people will even go back for the phone. I think most people don't want to leave the house without the phone.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You're more lost without your phone than anything else.
That's true. We depend on it now. Okay, so this is going on December 17th through January 2nd. Kids under 11 ride for free. And again, you can go to metrorail.com to find out more about this. And you can hit the Ventra app and buy tickets from there. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, Michael.
Yeah, sure.
Gillis.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
WGN, Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez. Craig, you did say you were going to...
Yeah, I had to bring it out.
Yeah, but the word you used was thrashing. I don't...
Okay.
There were rock horns. You were rocking out
mm-hmm.
in the booth.
I did the finger thing where you do the two little
things. They're rock horns.
Yep, that's what you said?
I'm
I don't know what they're called. I unleash them every so often, but I don't know what to call them. That's my go-to move, by the way, with anything that's a little bit faster. Just do the horns. Is that bad?
No.
Okay.
It means you're rocking out, man.
Right, yeah.
Ugh.
That's how I express myself, you know? Get the music going and do the rock. I don't even move the whole body. It's just the wrist sometimes.
That's you dancing.
Right. Every so often. You know, just I'm appreciating you. That's how I'm doing it. Sorry. Okay, we're getting off topic. You had a different topic. I'm enjoying my thrashing.
I was going to talk about bicycles,
right?
But now I'm kind of on board with talking about your dance moves that involves one hand and your wrist only.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
I'm not a skilled dancer. That's what I'm saying.
You find a way to make it work.
Right. I don't want to leave the dance floor
that's
just because I don't know how to dance. I want to be on the dance floor with everybody having fun, but I'm not moving as much.
That's admirable because so many people avoid the dance floor.
I know, right?
You only live once, people.
Right. Get out there.
I'm always the jerk at weddings going like, all right, let's do this.
Are you a skilled dancer, though?
I think that I am, which means I probably am not.
You might be. I think confidence is a lot of it.
Confidence is a lot of it. You got to own it.
I own my horns.
Be willing to look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, oh, there's a klezmer band. Let's start the hora right now. This
yes.
is a thing we're doing, and I will grab a stranger's hand and start a line of people running in a circle. I have done that on more than one occasion.
You're needed. You're needed at weddings because you got to dance. You
because there's always an awkward moment after the bride and groom have their dance, and then they're like, okay, everybody dance with us, and everybody just kind of sits there.
Right.
So what I will usually do is I will find, like, the bride's grandpa.
Oh, this is a great move.
Right? And be like, hi, will you dance with me? Let's get this started. Because he's a little man. He don't care. He'd be like, yeah, let's do this.
Right.
And we go cut a rug. And it's really fun.
You did like several eyebrow raises. You were very, very proud of the idea that you and Grandpa cut a rug. Which I'm very much now.
Well, because if you do this move with, like, if I were to do that with a man my own age.
Right.
It would look like I was hitting on him.
Mm-hmm.
Which sometimes is perfectly fine. But usually, like, you know, I'm here to help my friend's wedding be successful. So let's get the people dancing. Let's do this. I recently was at a wedding, and the bride and groom entered with microphones and sang their way in and then proceeded to serenade each other. And they both have phenomenal voices, so it was really beautiful.
Okay, that sounds beautiful.
But they were, like, they walked in, and they were kind of holding hands, and then she kind of was hiding the microphone behind her dress, and then he...
Okay.
You know, the microphone was black, so you couldn't really tell he was holding that. And
sure.
Then suddenly, like, his hand goes up and he starts singing this Sinatra song, and it was really beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And then she starts singing, and suddenly Salt and Pepa is playing, and she's singing What a Man. And it was a good time.
That's an unexpected transition. That's great.
It really was, but it was a good time, and it was perfect for them.
Was there a lot of, like, stereotypical posing as they were singing? Did they, like, go close to the piano and maybe, like, lean against it?
This was more of a
dance number.
Q-tape over the PA system kind
of
affair.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right.
But it was lovely.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand weddings. They seem to all want to one-up each other now because of the YouTube. You know how there's all those crazy entrances that you see on YouTube?
Yeah.
Like the wedding party. They came in all nuts. Every wedding I go to now, there's some sort of niche.
It's a racket.
Right.
It is a racket.
Yeah, right? And that's probably a job of the future, or maybe even the present, to just plan people's entrances for their wedding party, for their reception. Like, I could be a reception entrance choreographer. Right?
I'm sure that's a current job.
Really?
A flash mob choreographer is a current job.
That's amazing.
That's definitely a current job.
That's really... That makes no sense, actually. I thought a flash mob was just, let's all be crazy. Like, do you have to be really coordinated?
Well, some of them are.
Oh, that's, well, yeah.
If you go to
the cool ones,
go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
How did we know what was cool before YouTube? Go to YouTube and search flash mob, and you'll see some are just kind of like everyone show up and dance like a crazy person at this hour. But some are like detailed choreography.
I would check out of those. Like, the whole point is just to be, I don't want to learn a whole dance routine for this. Like, I'll show up to the place, I'll do the crazy dancing when the music starts, but if you got to teach me moves.
I've done one. I did one at the Bean. It was really fun.
How many people?
Like 12.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, it's a nice day. Let's go do this.
How did people react to you when you were flash mob?
Well, at first they were looking at us kind of horrified because we were dancing and we had like a boombox with us.
Oh, cool.
And the song playing and the person, the artist who made the music was with us.
Oh.
And that was kind of what got it going. We're like, this would be fun. We have this cool singer.
But they didn't want to perform it. It was on a boombox.
Yeah. She was like, that's great. Let's go. So we all just kind of went down there and we were doing this thing with the boombox and we're at the Bean and we all just sort of started looking around. And the deal was like the person with the boombox would just kind of walk up last.
Raise it into the
and
air.
Suddenly, yeah, raise it up and hit play and raise it up. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as the music played, we just all started dancing
randomly.
Is there
video proof of this?
Definitely.
Okay, good.
I will find it.
Thank God.
Definitely,
I really
there's
want to see
video
that.
Proof. It's really fun.
Right. I'm curious how you conceal yourself when you're a flash mob, too, because I feel
we
like it would be obvious.
Alike.
Okay.
No, we weren't dressed alike. We right. were just in regular clothes. We were all just hanging out, like taking selfies at the Bean, mm-hmm. doing stuff. And we were in like either by ourselves or in groups of two or three. So we just all look like tourists.
I have more flash mob questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
Do you let people join in? So say
yes.
you have a group of 12 people and then a couple strangers. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes maybe that's not okay. Maybe an intruder to your flash mob if you have a whole coordinated
no.
number. All right.
I mean, if you can follow the choreography, bully on you. But there wasn't choreography. We were just dancing around. So I just like
right.
grabbed some. There was like a couple staying there kind of tapping their feet. And I just grabbed them and we were all dancing.
That's awesome.
It was really fun.
We need to do another one.
That's a thing I do. I just grab people and make them dance.
Yeah. You do cool stuff. You do cool things. I'm just going to say it twice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to, I mean, I paused because I was like, is that cool or does that mortify people?
Oh, no. The fact that you've participated in a flash mob, cool.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to find that video.
I challenge anyone, 312-981-7200, to text us why it's not cool to be in a flash mob, because there's no reason. It's
well, I think some
cool.
people feel like it's played out.
Well, you didn't do it yesterday.
No, it was a few years ago.
Right.
But I would do one if someone said, okay, we're doing a flash mob tomorrow. I would totally go do it because it's fun. That's the thing. It is a little joy bomb because people look at it and they smile. At first,
wow.
they're like, what in the hell am I looking at?
But then, joy bombs.
But then they're like, oh my gosh, this is so fun and ridiculous.
Right.
There's one that's very beautiful that's on YouTube and it's at a mall mm-hmm. at a food court. And suddenly a woman in a Christmas sweater just gets up and stands on her chair and starts singing this beautiful, I think it's O Holy Night, I don't remember, with this beautiful voice just starts singing and everyone's looking at her like, what is happening? And then someone else, like the tenor joins in from across the food court and then the baritone and then the alto, like everybody's going.
Okay, that's super cool.
And it's beautiful. And then suddenly people, so the food court, you know, there's like balconies overlooking it for several mm-hmm. floors and all these people are up there milling around and start leaning over the balconies and singing along. And it's this huge
oh
chorus
God.
Of people. It's stunning. It's
right.
so beautiful. I would absolutely do that if someone was like, let's do a flash mob.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't ask me to do the singing, but I'm not the best singer. But I would totally jump in and maybe just mouth the words just to be a part of the group.
Just to look like you were
yeah.
in it.
They Love Actually did that. The movie. Have you seen Love Actually? They
yes.
do that? Yeah, in the church. And then I think that was a thing. I think they created it. I'm going to give credit to Love Actually.
Sure.
Yeah. But I would love to be able to coordinate that many people to give a gift of flash mob to a person. That would be cool. No one would.
Oh, a gift of flash
yeah,
mob.
Yeah. Would anyone react negatively?
I think we just launched a business. I think we just became
we did.
Flash mob coordinators.
Flash mob choreographer coordinators.
That does exist.
For individuals.
There was a flash mob at Printers or Lit Fest a few years ago, and
okay.
there was a choreographer hired to do that.
I'm not a fan of that. A whole,
why?
You know, like
it
doing
fun.
It at a corporate-y event thing.
Well, it's outside.
I don't know.
It
now,
fun.
Now it feels. Now you're taking away the heart of it. Now it's a whole corporate thing. This is like a
sellout.
Yeah.
You know which one was really fun? Remember when Oprah set up on Michigan Avenue?
Oh yeah.
Right here outside the studio,
mm-hmm.
and the Black Eyed Peas played at that.
Right.
And what was fun about that flash mob is that it started with one person and everybody was going, oh my God, look at that one woman down front freaking out. Like she was losing her mind over the Black Eyed Peas and everybody, like people were, had their, you know, cameras out going,
yeah,
what's
they were
her
judging
problem?
Her hard.
And then suddenly the two people behind her started in and then it was just a line of people and it was so beautiful and it was
mm-hmm.
cool. I was on the fourth or fifth floor of Tribune Tower looking out over it.
Okay.
So I kind of got this cool.
I thought you were going to say you were in it. All of a sudden, I thought it was coming to Amy Guth was part of that.
If I knew about it, I would have been.
You were so close to it. You should have gone down, joined in.
And been like, excuse me.
Guys,
move.
I'm a part of this
Oprah
now.
Oprah needs me.
Right.
Oprah, I'm here to do the
a
thing.
A sentence I want to say once in my life.
Oprah needs me.
Oprah needs me. Everyone move aside.
I'd rather be the opposite. She'd be like, I'd rather Oprah be like, Amy Guth, I have a question. I need your help.
All right. Okay.
That'd be good.
Right. Yeah, if Oprah came looking for me, you're right. That would be awesome.
Unless it was something stupid like, hey, Oprah can... Or unless she was like, hey, Amy, will you go get my slippers or
right.
get me a cup of water? Then be like,
or can you go find someone else for me? That would be extra sad.
Will you go find someone important?
Right. Hey,
man.
Craig, can you go find Amy Guth for me? Okay. I guess. This is terrible.
Ah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Good times.
This is really a good idea. That's definitely a business, though.
But you've got me thinking about jobs of the future.
Okay.
So... So we're going to think about that a little more,
mm-hmm.
because I think there's something here. There is a role trying to be filled right now in London as we speak. And it is the emoji translator.
Mm-hmm. I've heard. It's very exciting.
The BBC has written about this. If you do not believe me, you can go find it out for yourself. But this company in London is advertising for, they want an emoji translator because they believe people are using them in ways that are open to interpretation.
Yeah.
I know that my mom used the middle finger emoji wrong because she couldn't totally see it. And she just thought she was like, she thought it was like when you imagine your face when you're or like a cartoon's face when the light bulb appears over their head. They're like, yep. Ah, good idea. The finger would go up with it. That's what she thought she was doing. So anytime I'd be like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if this? She would be like, this.
Middle
and
finger.
I was like, wow, well,
wow.
Back at you there, you know. And she was really just saying like, yay, good idea. Oh, sorry, Mom.
That's a very hilariously celebratory mistake your mom's making. That's very lovely.
Kind of like the time that she thought LOL meant lots of love.
Aw, that's nice. My grandmother uses emojis every so often, and I don't think she has any idea what they mean. I don't even think she does them on purpose, which is very, very sweet.
She just hits buttons.
Well, there's the, is it the chocolate ice cream? Is that what
I
we
guess.
Can call it? You know, the one that looks like something else, but I think we're supposed to, it's chocolate ice cream.
Are
My
you
grandmother,
talking about the poo emoji?
I'm talking about that, yeah.
Okay.
My grandmother sends that a lot. That emoji happens quite often, and I don't think she knows that she's sending it.
Well, here's the thing about
Uh-oh.
In Japan,
oh God.
In the Japanese language, mm-hmm. the words for poo and luck sound very similar
in
Japanese.
That's nice.
And so it's like a fun thing. If your friend is about to go do something, you know, that you would say good luck. It's okay to send the poo emoji.
Oh, well,
so
that's
your
what
grandmother is just being like,
yeah.
you know, globally minded.
She just wishes me good luck all the time. That's great.
Little grandma. That's cute. All right. Let's take a break. Get you to news. When we come back, we will continue this conversation about jobs that don't exist but should and all other things. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez this fine evening. Thanks for being with me and spending time with me. Always grateful to have you here. You know, we were talking before the break about jobs that are not really a thing but are becoming a thing. And we were talking about this because there is a company in London that is advertised for an emoji translator. And they cite their reason for doing so is because some people are misusing or misinterpreting the emojis. The BBC wrote about this, and there's one emoji in there that I learned something because it's that little, it's like a little white, kind of like a flower, but it has some characters on it, right? Little Japanese characters in red. And it's unclear what that is exactly. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It is what teachers in Japan stamp on the assignment books that when the students have done a good job on homework. It is like the gold star. So it is that.
Cool. I'm going to use that more.
Right.
Right.
There's a lot of emojis as we most of us know that have been co-opted for less than wholesome reasons. The eggplant, for example, is the only emoji that you cannot use as a search emoji. You can't search it on Instagram because it is about the nether regions is what that is.
I'm learning stuff. I didn't know any of this stuff.
You knew about the eggplant. Come on.
I don't know what oops, I did it again means. I'm learning a lot of things.
Who is this Britney Spears? What's happening?
I don't know what's going on. Eggplant what now? Yeah.
But I think that's, I mean, an emoji job. Of course that's happening.
Yeah. And so an emoji translator would know that eggplant, bad meaning.
Not bad. Just
right?
not.
Not.
It ain't about an eggplant is what I'm saying. It's not bad. It's
good
just
to know.
Not an eggplant.
Right.
I said that to a guest one time. I don't remember how it came up, but I said that on the air to a guest and she like realized, oh my God, my kids use that. Like she realized like, oh my. So I super busted her children.
Her eyes glazed
on
over
the air.
And
all of a sudden
about.
She was like, what?
Yeah.
So that was a thing
kids?
That happened. So you know what? What job of the future would you not, do you think is coming like right around the corner? I ask that because when I used to do social media for a living, often students would come to me and say, I want to do that job. What did you major in so that I can do that? And I'd be like, well, the internet did not really exist when I went to college. I mean, there was like prodigy.net chat rooms. And I was all about the Twin Peaks forum because that's a show.
That's a smart place to be. I don't know. You made no mistakes.
No. And right. And there was like fan fiction going on in there. Mm-hmm. And like that was the internet
right
at that time. So I was like, well, I did not study the internet, if that's what you're asking me, because that was not an option. It's barely an option now. Like people can do it, but not in the like social media capacity. But so I was thinking of that, like, wow, actually, when I was in school, I could not have possibly conceived of that job. I could not have even imagined what a social network would have looked like outside of a prodigy.net chat room, much less internet that didn't make that awful dial-up noise when you logged on to it, right? So what about you? What do you think? What job of the future should exist but does not yet? What do you think, Craig?
Maybe like a robot psychologist. You know, like if something's going haywire with your robot car, your robot butler, you've got to really
for
like,
the robots.
Right. Yeah. A psychologist.
I thought you meant like an automated mental health
that
professional.
That would be great. But for me, a profession might be to give the robot, you know, psychology help. Because you never know. After a certain amount of time, robots might just have their own feels. They might need somebody to help them with those.
Then it's going to get scary.
Right.
Well, we were
maybe
talking,
if they're just like sad, depressed robots, it's sure. Not scary. There's no, you know, murdering of us all. It's just, you know, you need a little talking to.
Right.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
I know. I was like,
I'm trying to go out there.
Eventually it's going to connect to Data on Star Trek, but I don't know
right.
when.
Yeah, no, I had a little path.
Well, I got to think that as we're talking about
the future,
like colonizing Mars and junk like that, that's going to be some jobs. Stuff.
And like, they're not all going to be cool. Everybody's not going to be astronaut. Somebody's going to be like dishwasher on Mars.
Got to wash the dishes on Mars. Got to pick up the trash.
You got to.
Or I guess gravity is probably weird there. So you got to.
You know, I don't know anything about it.
Trash will float.
I'm going to stick with the robot psychologist idea. I'm not going to get into this Mars stuff.
Well, earlier we were talking about the Duolingo app and how they've added this function where you practice texting with someone. And that's sort of, I mean, that's not a person. But
it feels like a person to you.
Right. So that's what I thought you were saying. That's where I thought you were going when you said robot psychologist.
No, that's a good way to go.
My life's falling apart. And they're like, there. I feel bad for you.
You will be okay.
Let's talk about some coping tools.
I feel better. Thank you.
And then you're like, yeah, tell me the answer. And then their battery dies. And you're like, but I don't, but I'm in crisis.
But please, okay.
All right.
All right, robot psychologist. That's a good idea, too. I'm going to write that down.
I assume at some point we'll be replaced with robots.
For everything.
Robot host.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's going to happen. Would it be the same, though? They'd all have to have different, like the same show for 24 hours. I don't know if that's going to be any fun. Robot crosstalk would be very weird. Very strange.
So what's happening on your show?
You know, robots are not in our rundown, but it's been a very robot heavy show.
Isn't that funny how yeah. themes emerge?
Right.
And I open the show by saying, you know, on my regular show on Saturday nights, 7 to 9, I pick one topic and talk about it all uh-huh. evening and how this was going to be a very, you know, different thing. And I was excited
right.
about doing
right.
a different kind of format because mm-hmm. now the world's my oyster and I can talk about all of the things. But in fact, I can't stay away from the one topic format, and apparently right. that topic is robots.
Hey, I mean, you talk about the future, I think, you know, that's the obvious thing to think about.
Or as my grandmother says when she says robots, robots.
Robots?
She has a little bit of that mid-Atlantic aww. Sort of robots.
Aw.
It's cute.
That is very cute.
Okay. We made up a game early in the show, and
yeah.
now I would like to play it.
Ooh.
We need to take a break here in a sec, but when we come back, we are going to play a game called Can We Not? And we're going to, because, you know, Festivus, for anyone who watched The Seinfeld, as you may recall, Festivus is the holiday, Festivus for the rest of us. And part of Festivus is the airing of grievances. And so we're going to be airing a few grievances, but in a not negative, fun, kind of lighthearted way, called Can We Not? And you fill in the blank of what that is. Can we not? Whatever that is that you think that we should just not do. Maybe it is something controversial like dibs. People have very strong opinions about dibs. Maybe it's something as light and easygoing as the aforementioned KFC chicken scented candle that I've mentioned earlier tonight. Could be any of those things. Could be a combination therein. We'll talk about that when we come back here in just a bit on 720 WGN.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Excellent. 720 WGN, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez. Little clip from Seinfeld there, celebrating Festivus for the rest of us. It is the holiday that's like a non-holiday holiday. It is for whoever wants it. Festivus is there for us all. But indeed, part of it is the airing of grievances. So we're playing a game right now called Can We Not? Feel free to give us a call, 312-981-7200. If there's something, if there's a grievance you would like to air, can we not? I would like to start. And mine is, can we not with the automatic hatred of winter? Because I saw a thing on Facebook in which someone said something like, oh my gosh, my yard looks so beautiful with all of this snow. I freaking hate winter. Oh my God, I hate it. And just went off about how much they hated it. And I was like, you know what? You don't. You actually like it, but you're letting yourself be socialized. You know, you're letting yourself go with the crowd mentality to hate it. Last winter, I made a point to not complain about winter one time, and it changed my life. It was significant, the impact that that had. So can we not with the hating on winter, the winter haters?
You know, you're convincing me. I was on one camp before, but you're convincing me that it might be good. You know?
It is life-changing.
Yeah.
Because you walk outside and you go, oh my God, it's so cold. Instead, I'd be like, just shut my mouth and zip up my coat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk. There's not. Now, one time I did say, wow, it's really cold tonight.
Right.
And I was with a friend who was like, I thought you weren't complaining. I was like, I'm stating a fact. Stating a fact. It's 2 degrees. That was the only time I kind of slipped last winter.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I'm going to try to up my game a little more and like actually straight up embrace it. I reserve the right to perhaps visit a tropical climate. But nonetheless, I'm going to try to embrace it and say, because right now looking here on Michigan Avenue, it's beautiful. The mm-hmm. snow on the ground is so beautiful, all the twinkly lights, and it's lovely.
Yeah.
Let's embrace it.
I agree.
You're not embracing it, but you're on board with,
I'm
like,
trying.
Don't complain.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm putting myself mentally there. You know, I have one, and it's more for just when I walk around downtown, and it's probably not fair. I know a lot of people want to stop and stare at some of the wonderful things that are on Michigan Avenue, like
testify.
Big trees,
yeah.
All these kinds of things. But could we not in large groups just
stop
and
oh.
just pause? I mean, there's a bunch of
yes.
people walking on Michigan Avenue at certain times of day. You're blocking a whole crowd because six of you all need to take photos at the same time.
Totally.
Can we not? Can you okay. just find a space?
Okay, wait. I've got one connected to that. Can we not walk on the sidewalk five people across?
Yeah. Oh, yes, can we not do that, please?
Yes, can we not?
Yes, can we? I don't know what I just said, but I feel like it was right.
But you did it with both the hand gestures and the enthusiasm mm-hmm. of like, can I get an amen?
That is so annoying. And because now your pace is everyone's pace and your pace is not my pace. I
your
walk
pace
faster
is not my pace.
Than you group of people.
And it's most offensive if you're walking towards them, they look at you and keep going and none of them are willing to move to let you.
Right.
And that makes me mad because like my thing that really makes me mad is like when I feel like someone is totally ignoring me or like when I feel invisible. Oh, my God, that makes me so nuts. So when I'm just like I have straight up said, I would like to share the sidewalk. I've just said that to people. I'll keep walking just to, like I'll play chicken with them to see how close they get to me. And then they're like, aren't you going to move? No, there's five of you walking across the whole sidewalk. And my options are to let you walk on me literally or step out into traffic
right.
and I reject those two options.
Can we not do
can
that
we not
from the 872, that's an area code I'm not terribly familiar with. My grievance, can we not make the holidays or whatever so unavoidably pervasive? Can I don't observe anything and yet I'm being forced to observe things. Can we not?
I'm totally down with that one.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I actually was going to say 872, I hate, can we not say get into the holiday spirit if I'm having a day where I'm not into the holiday spirit, can you not say, hey, let's get you into the holiday spirit? I don't have to be there all the time.
I'll do what I want.
Right. Every once in a while, I can be in the regular mood. Just because it's December, I don't have to be Mr. Christmas for the whole month.
With
the Christmas music and the whatnot.
I kind of had an aggressive... Yeah, you are. I had an aggressive Salvation Army bell ringer the other
day.
Yeah,
see?
And I said... Because look, here's my thing. I am not... Let me be real clear. I am not into that like war on Christmas thing. Here is my thing. If I know what the hell you celebrate, I will wish it to you. But if I don't know, I don't want to assume. Right? Personally, I'm Team Hanukkah. But like Christmas is beautiful and I don't want to take it from anyone or diminish it. It's just not my my holiday. So, and that's cool. And there's room for everybody. And that's totally fine. So I don't assume because you never know what someone celebrates or doesn't. As our 872 area code texter just pointed out, sometimes like you, like it's not your thing. You don't want to celebrate anything. That's fine too. So if I don't know for sure what you celebrate, I'm not going to say so. So I was walking and the bell ringer person said like, Merry Christmas. And I was like, oh yeah, happy holidays to you. And I mean, I said it pleasantly. I didn't scoff or anything.
That sounded pleasant.
Just like I said it. And she like shook the bell at my face and was like, I said, Merry Christmas. And I'm like, oh, I heard you. I mean, I was kind of,
Christmas.
I didn't know what to do because I was like, right. I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to get somewhere. But also like, why are you shaking a bell at me? You're trying to hit me in the face with a bell right now.
Yeah, you are turning this holiday spirit all upside down.
You are really
you're
messing with me right
me
now.
With instruments of joy. This is very upsetting.
Death by bell.
Yeah, that would be awful. By the way, the 708 agrees with you. Just for you, Amy, accepting and celebrating our reality. And then they sent a giant picture of snow.
So. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's quite lovely.
Cool.
All right. What else can we not, Craig?
I, you know, I'm not so against dibs. What I would say is, can we not judge a man who puts something into the street if he shovels a large amount of snow? I haven't done it yet because we haven't had that snow yet. But can we not judge a man that may want to call dibs on his you know, space that he dug out for about an hour or so?
Sometimes young people come to me and ask me like, hey, I want to be on the radio. What advice do you have for me?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
And I give them lots of advice. And I'm like, first of all, you learn by doing and no one person can teach you anything because none of us are perfect. We all are winging it. And sometimes something comes out of your mouth and it doesn't, you miss, and you're like, what? That doesn't make
sense. You regret it. Okay.
Or you just like say it, you know, you're trying to say one word and another word comes out, you know.
Yeah,
you roll with it. And
right.
I say like, but be natural and just say, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say this.
Right.
Roll with it.
Okay.
Don't be all broadcasty. But
all right.
But a thing I always say is, if you don't know what to talk about
all right.
and you're panicking
mm-hmm.
and you are on a talk radio station.
This appears to be one of those.
You just bring up, there's a couple of topics you can bring up because people will call you. And some will tell you you are brilliant and some will tell you that you are
crazy,
not only stupid, but the stupidest person ever to walk this earth. And dibs is one of those topics.
I mean, I understand the polarizing aspect of the dibs conversation.
Lord have mercy on us all. People have lost their minds.
Yeah.
Last year, I mentioned dibs and real casually said what I thought. I heard about that for weeks.
Those people who lost their minds probably spent hours digging out their car.
I get that.
And
look,
saying.
Let me start by saying, I live in the city and I do not own a vehicle.
Right.
I have.
Right.
And I got rid of it because I did not like to dig it out of snow piles. So, you know, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Right. But then the whole dibs. From the 847, can we not judge people who hate driving in the snow? We all have our limits. I feel like it's a very specific, can we not? And maybe you had some sort of argument with a loved one about your desire to not drive in snow, 847.
Can we not judge people for not wanting to drive in the snow?
No, I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
That's totally fine.
I think it's good to admit that out loud. I don't want to be in a car with you if you're scared.
Or just don't want to do it.
Right.
And frankly, if it's snowing, like it's cozier to just stay home.
From the 773, can we not bash fruitcake?
That's a good one. No, that's a really good one.
Fruitcake's awful.
Here's the thing. I went for years bashing it and then finally tried it. Like, what a hypocritical thing to do. And then I was like, oh, that's actually not bad at all.
Really? You're a fan of the fruitcake?
I mean,
maybe you had a really good fruitcake.
I had a really delicious one.
Okay.
And other people commented. They were like, no, this is a pretty good one.
Right.
But I thought it was delicious.
Well, that fruitcake that you had should be shared with everyone because people would do less. Because most fruitcakes are not that fruitcake. Most are terrible.
The maker of the fruitcake said she takes it to parties and tells people, she doesn't say it's fruitcake. She calls it other things because otherwise people won't eat it.
That makes a lot of sense. Go ahead.
I was just saying there's fruitcake, like there's prejudicial
there is.
Naming
I have it.
Going on. You clearly.
I'm a fruitcakeist. From the 303, can we not double park and block an entire lane of traffic on major thoroughfares during rush hour?
Preach, yeah.
For sure.
That's can one. We not, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can we give each other the benefit of the doubt? That's not really a can we not, but it's a just from the 708, can we just give each other the benefit of the doubt?
That's a huge one.
Right.
I feel like if we, as we're arguing and discussing especially contentious issues mm-hmm. in a political,
mm-hmm.
socio-political kind of conversation.
Yeah.
That is a hard thing to do, but give people the benefit of the doubt that they have made a decision based on a strong feeling or a set of facts or whatever, right? Like, I think if we gave each other the benefit of the doubt instead of saying, like, what an idiot for voting this way or this way, right? That's hard to do, but I think it would be a very different climate.
The 847 seems to be targeting me with a text message. Can we get into the holiday spirit and not be a Mr. Grinch? I'm in it sometimes. You just don't have to be all the time in the holiday spirit. Amy's being very silent.
No, I'm just, you know, you look like you're about to say something else. You gotta look on your face.
You know, I'm thinking 847 that maybe for the whole month, there can be times when I listen to regular non-Christmas music and do regular non-Christmas activities.
Well, here's the good news. Craig, you are a grown-ass man and you can do whatever you want.
Right, thank you. I feel good about myself now.
You don't have to thank me. I'm stating a fact.
Well,
it's a thing.
Take that, 847.
Oh, come on. We love 847 for listening.
Oh, we do? Yeah, okay,
thank
right.
Thank you for listening,
right.
847.
Well, thank you very much. And I will be less grinchy.
I love these texts. These are great.
We just got another one. Can we not park in a handicapped parking spot if you don't have a placard?
Oh, that one is...
That seems...
Totally unacceptable.
Right. At all times.
I've seen people do that. And I'm like, really? Or I've seen people, like, get the thing out of the glove box, put it on the mirror, and then walk into the store. But I'm like... And let's be clear, like, a disability can take many forms.
Yep.
And it could be, you know, it could be cognitive, it could be, you know, emotional. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons. But it's like, some people, you just don't, you question it. Especially if you're not driving with the thing on your car all the time. If you just, like, whip it out of your purse and put it on your car, you're like, well, I don't know, that was probably kind of, like, insensitive, but.
No, I agree with you that every once in a while, I see... Somebody seemed to be, you know, there's a spot on my block that someone had specially put in mm-hmm. that's a handicapped spot. And I've met this person, I've communicated with this person, and it seems like whatever their ailment is, mm-hmm. it's not terribly detrimental, you know. And so every once in a while you see something like that. Maybe you question a little bit, but.
Well, here's where it bugs me is when it's like. It's about proximity to the building,
mm-hmm.
and you see like a little lady with a walker
right.
coming from the back of the parking lot.
Yeah.
It takes her 2 hours to get there or whatever. When, you know, but I'm again.
Right. We're not.
All disability is like visually identifiable.
Certainly not.
And I honor and respect that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah. That's the text so far. So thank you all the texters for texting. Oh, wait, we just got another one. Can the police please have someone pull into a side street when stopping them instead of blocking a lane of traffic?
That's
can
true.
We not?
That's true.
That's kind of a fair point.
That's
but
a
maybe
great
sometimes
point.
Hard.
Yeah.
To pull off, you know, if you pull over somebody who did something and you only got a little space to do it. That's
well,
all
and also
you do.
When you get pulled over, you go like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, and you just pull over really quickly to just go like, what do I, you know, that's a thing. We're gonna take a little break. Be back in just a bit on 720 WGN.